tag replication and status bits encoding for enhancing cache metadata reliability. Welcome to Journal Club. I'm Malcolm Diggs. Let's talk about how a typical CPU cache works. When a processor accesses memory, it doesn't go straight to DRAM. It first checks the on-chip caches. They are built from fast SRAM and hold recently used data. L1, that's level 1 caches, are the smallest and fastest, sitting closest to the execution pipeline. L2 and L3 caches are larger but slower, buffering accesses further away from the core. Each cache is divided into lines, and each line holds a block of memory along with a small set of control information. That control information is what enables the cache to decide whether it contains the data being requested and whether that data is still valid. It's also what ensures that modified data eventually makes its way back to main memory. Without it, the cache is just a fast but blind scratch pad. Tag bits and status bits are part of this cache metadata. Tags identify which memory block is stored in a given line. Status bits track things like whether the line is valid or dirty. They make up a small fraction of the total cache area, roughly 5%, but their correctness is critical. A single flipped bit in a tag field can cause a false hit or misdirected write. A flipped dirty bit can either trigger an unnecessary write back or, worse, prevent one that should happen. In the worst case, this results in silently corrupted memory state with no recovery path. The situation is particularly fragile in write-back caches. Unlike write-through designs, which propagate every write immediately, write-back caches retain modified data locally and write them to lower memory levels only when the line is evicted. That means a dirty line is often the only copy of a value. If the dirty bit flips from 1 to 0, the system thinks the line is clean and silently discards the modified data without ever flushing it to memory. That's not just a correctness bug, that's a permanent data loss scenario. Even small projection schemes, like parity bits, are often only applied to data arrays or instruction caches, not the metadata. In many designs, the tags in L1 and L2 caches get little more than structural parity or are left entirely unprotected to avoid latency penalties. This is a cost-saving choice, but the underlying assumption is flawed. Soft errors can appear anywhere. Today's paper focuses directly on that neglected zone, the metadata. The authors propose a new 3-bit encoding scheme for status bits that tolerates single-bit flips, and a selective replication strategy that focuses only on dirty cache blocks. On today's episode, we'll first talk about the systems that came before, then we'll walk through their new solution, the logic behind the encoding, the architecture of the replication mechanism, and how both integrate into the memory access pipeline. So, how do we get here? If you're trying to harden cache metadata, one move is to wrap it in full ECC. And in fact, that's what most existing designs do. At high level, ECC, an error-correcting code, is a technique that adds redundant bits to a data word so that certain patterns of bit flips can be detected and corrected. The simplest forms add parity bits to catch single-bit errors, while more advanced schemes compute a compact checksum or syndrome that identifies both the presence and location of a fault. SECDED, S-E-C-D-E-D, is a common implementation. It stands for Single Error Correction, Double Error Detection. SECDED uses one parity bit for single error detection, plus the necessary syndrome bits for double error detection and single error correction. While SECDED is fine for off-path or low-frequency elements like memory or L2 data arrays, it's too expensive to apply at scale for every fast-path tag or status bit, especially in L1 caches. These structures sit squarely on the critical path of a load instruction, and introducing even a single cycle delay to decode ECC can stall the core. On top of that, the area and power overhead can exceed 1.5% when applied to all metadata, and more when the cache is large or highly associative. The authors of this paper go in the opposite direction. Instead of correcting all bits, they target only the most critical ones. And instead of full ECC logic, they use logical encodings that are aware of state transitions and exploit structural asymmetries in metadata behavior. This starts with the observation that not all metadata bits are equally important. Status bits are small, but highly asymmetric in consequence. Flipping a dirty bit from 1 to 0 can silently drop an in-flight write-back, but flipping from 0 to 1 triggers a redundant one. Similarly, tag corruption on dirty blocks is catastrophic, while the same on clean blocks is recoverable. So the paper's core strategy is to guard just the error modes that lead to unrecoverable data loss, and handle the rest with lightweight invalidation or replay. In the case of status bits, this means a 3-bit encoding, where dirty is placed at the center of a guard zone. The dirty state is encoded with a binary pattern that sits at a Hamming distance of 2 or more from all other valid states. Hamming distance is simply the count of bit positions that differ between 2 binary codes. By spacing legal codes at least 2 bits apart, you guarantee that a 1-bit error cannot transform one valid state into another. So in this case, any single bit flip around that code lands in a reserved zone that doesn't map to a valid status. As a result, the controller can unambiguously detect and recover a corrupted dirty bit using just pattern matching logic. No parity, no syndrome decoding, and no delay on valid transitions. For tag fields, the same philosophy applies. Instead of replicating every tag, the design duplicates only the ones associated with dirty blocks. Since clean data can be refetched from lower levels, errors in their tags are recoverable through invalidation and reload, but dirty blocks are unique copies, so their tags are mirrored in a dedicated replica structure, just one per set. This replica doesn't store full metadata or participate in LRU. It simply holds the tag and a pointer to the original way. If the main tag is corrupted, the replica can be used to reconstruct the access path and complete the writeback. In case you're wondering, LRU, or least recently used, is a common cache replacement policy that tracks how recently each line in a set has been accessed. When the cache needs to evict a line to make room for new data, LRU selects the one that hasn't been used in the longest time. Anyway, the result from bypassing LRU and doing this instead is a system that avoids overprotecting low-risk paths while still achieving over 97% recovery coverage for single-bit faults. And it does so with 0.5% area overhead and just 1.7% additional dynamic power, both of which are far below what you'd see in a full SecDead deployment. This isn't just cost-cutting, it's fault tolerance by triage, acknowledging where risk actually lies and applying just enough redundancy to keep the pipeline safe without blowing out the budget. To understand how these enhancements behave in a live system, we need to look at what changes during a typical cache access. The underlying principle is straightforward. Detection is only invoked when there's a tag match. In all other cases, the access behaves like any normal cache read or write. What the authors have done is surgically inject lightweight protection mechanisms without disrupting the fast path. Here's what that looks like in practice. On a read, the cache controller computes the set index and probes all tags in that set, including the replica slot. Tags and the replica are read in parallel. If one of the ways hits and the associated tag passes the parity check, the access proceeds normally. However, if the parity check fails, recovery is conditional. For clean blocks, the system treats this as a miss and simply refills the block from the lower level memory. For dirty blocks, the design expects a double hit scenario. Both the original tag and its replica should match the request. The system then uses whichever copy passes the parity check to reconstruct the correct tag and complete the access. If both copies fail parity, the block is considered lost, but this outcome is extremely rare under the assumed single bit flip model. Write requests follow the same initial process but add one constraint. Only one dirty block per set is allowed. When a new write targets a different block in the same set and an existing dirty block is already present, the system triggers an early write-back of the existing dirty block before proceeding. The evicted block is marked clean, and the incoming write is now allowed to claim the dirty slot and store its tag in the replica. This enforcement guarantees that each set maintains at most one tag replica, which keeps the hardware overhead low and ensures predictable replica access. It's important to note that error detection only runs when a tag comparison is successful. This avoids unnecessary parity checks and ensures that detection latency is hidden within the normal access window. The authors deliberately avoid speculative detection or decoding across all ways, which would have incurred unnecessary performance penalties. Replacement policies such as LRU or FIFO are left unchanged. If a block must be evicted and is dirty, it is written back to memory and its replica invalidated. If it is clean, it is simply dropped. Replica entries also carry a validity bit, so stale replicas are never mistakenly used. Taken together, these adjustments ensure that cache metadata is protected without sacrificing performance or flooding the memory system. This replication strategy should provide targeted resilience, and the access flow should ensure compatibility with standard cache operations. But does it actually work? The real test of any fault tolerance scheme is how it performs under controlled error injection. The authors injected single-bit soft errors into both status bits and tag arrays of a data L1 cache. Then they measured how often their design was able to detect and recover from those errors. All of this was benchmarked across 15 workloads using full program runs to capture long-term fault exposure. The key metric here is single-bit error recovery rate. For status bits, the results are straightforward. The 3-bit encoding guaranteed correction for all single-bit flips in the status field. During their test, every single injected fault in a status bit was detected and correctly mapped back to the intended state. This makes sense. Remember, the encoding scheme was specifically designed to ensure that the dirty state has a minimum Hamming distance of 2 from any other legitimate state, which ensures that any single bit deviation lands in a guard zone. Tag fields are more nuanced. Under the design's constraint of one dirty block per set, replication is guaranteed and error correction is possible by comparing the parity of the original and the replica. In practice, this tag replication strategy enabled recovery from 97% of the injected tag faults. For comparison, the authors also evaluate a traditional SecDead scheme applied uniformly to the tag and status field. SecDead performs well, but not as well. Its recovery rate across the same set of workloads comes in at 94%. That difference is significant because SecDead is a full code solution with higher area and latency overheads, whereas the proposed approach selectively protects high-risk blocks using lighter-weight mechanisms. More importantly, SecDead does not provide strong guarantees for error correction when faults occur in time-critical components like tag cams, where correction latency can stretch cache access time beyond architectural bounds. Taken together, these results show that a careful split between encoding for status bits and selective replication for tag entries is not just a theoretical optimization. It outperforms a baseline ECC system in coverage and does so with significantly less overhead. The paper does not address multi-bit upsets, and the protection strategy here is strictly scoped to single-bit errors, but in modern process nodes, that is still the dominant soft error mode. For that regime, the authors demonstrate that almost every vulnerable bit in the cache metadata can be hardened without resorting to full redundancy or complex ECC pipelines. If you are building systems that rely on soft error resilience or high throughput cores, especially those with tight thermal and power envelopes, this design may offer an improvement path. The techniques are modular enough to be integrated incrementally, and the authors even provide extensions to MESI and MOESI protocols, suggesting paths forward for broader adoption in multi-core contexts. For system-level architects, this is one of those rare cases where reliability improvements do not come at the expense of architectural complexity, timing margins, or throughput. That alone makes it worth serious consideration. The full PDF includes the 3-bit encoding table used for status bits, along with the rationale for how guard codes are chosen to guarantee recovery from single-bit flips. It also contains the architectural diagrams for the tag replication structure, including how replica pointers are managed and how detection logic integrates into the access pipeline. The power and area estimates are broken down by component, and the fault injection results are reported across all the benchmarks. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. Hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.